That is, if you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Now, there was a time back in my young life, that was a long time ago, that when this was known as the Sunday school telephone number, 2 Timothy 2:2, but we don't dial those cedars and Timothy's now, we just put in the numbers. 2 Timothy 2:2. Now, this is a little unusual, a little different direction than we usually go in here. If you'll remember the last two Sundays, well, except one, in between we had a sermon on fasting, but we talked about exalting. We exalt the Lord Jesus, and we exalt God Almighty. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. I hope you have learned to do that, to exalt Christ and to exalt the Father in heaven. Now, you do that in many ways, but most particularly you do that, and Jesus said, by this I know you, and by this other men know you love me, and that is if you keep a commandment. So we obey him. We are in the thrones of exploring, exalting, equipping, extending, and I forgot the fourth one. Help me, Randy. He forgot to. That's okay. We'll get to it when it's time, okay? Today we're going to talk about equipping. Now, a church must do this. And many churches focus, and that's okay. Now, I'm not criticizing another church. I'm not responsible for another church, so why would I criticize? I am responsible, though, as the under-shepherd, not the shepherd, the under-shepherd under Christ. I am responsible, by the way. Let me throw a footnote in there. As are you. Got it? We're responsible for New Life Fellowship. We're responsible for what happens here. We're responsible to how we do exalt the Lord God. We're responsible how we do exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're responsible to how we equip believers in Christ Jesus. Would it help you to know that the last thing Jesus taught on the face of the earth was this? Go ye into all the world, Matthew 28, verses 18, I left off something, 18, 19, and 20. He said, now, all authority, that is, I have the right to tell you, all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go, since I have that authority, I'll tell you, go into all the world and make disciples. Watch. Teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And then this precious, precious promise. This is the part we like best. And I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. It's interesting to read the commentaries on the end of the world. Some say, well, that's out there. It's out there somewhere. Columbus never found it, you know. Don't you know that? Yeah. Others say it's the end of time. Well, listen, irregardless, I'm going to can both into there and say it's to the end of time, to the end of the world. You won't go anywhere. He won't be with you. You won't go anywhere what you'll not know his precious presence as you go. So he said that, and now we are here in the thrones of carrying out what he said do. So would you stand to honor the word of God? And I haven't forgotten now. My wife scolded me sufficiently that I was keeping you standing too long one Sunday as we looked at the Word of God. Chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 2. And the things, that's you. And you can make that a personal pronoun if you wish. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no one engages in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first a partaker of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Father God, we do pray for understanding in this particular scripture, that we might do well in the equipping of the saints. We each need to be, because we each will answer for that which we have heard, that which we know. So God, guide us by the Holy Spirit. May he give us understanding, clear, precise understanding of your word today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. We want to look at this in three different areas. One, we want to look at this as the leader. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He says that several times about himself. I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. By the way, known as one of the best church planters in all the world, no one was quite so efficient and effective as Paul was in planting churches. And by the way, a great, great Bible teacher, a man who studied for 13 years before he ever even began to preach, a man who was a lawyer, a man who led in the Jewish Sanhedrin, and probably would have been chief priest one day, except that this man, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, and by the way, just a footnote, he was on his road to Damascus to persecute, to kill, and to put in prison Christians. How would you like that for a vocation? How would you like that for your hobby? That's what he was doing. He was going about. He found out that it was very pleasing to the Sanhedrin if he put Christians to death, if he put Christians in jail. He stood at the stoning of a young man named Stephen. And in fact, he held the coats of the guys that threw the stones. But on the road to Damascus, his whole life got turned upside down. He was going from Jerusalem up to Damascus. He was going to kill Christians. He was going to put them in jail. And Jesus spoke to him. You know what he said? Well, I'll tell you. Thank you for asking. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, his only response could be what you and I would say. Who are you anyway? I am Christ, whom you persecutest. By the way, in that experience, Paul fell on his knees, cried out to God, and another little factor happened there. He was made blind, stole blind, couldn't see. They had to lead him by the hand on towards Damascus. But in that experience, he came to know Jesus Christ. And this great lawyer, this man who knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards and in the middle too, this man who knew the Old Testament became one of the greatest leaders in Christendom. He paid the price for it. He'll talk about that in a minute. He paid the price for becoming a Christian, but he became a Christian and became the leader. And now here he is with a young man named Timothy, whom he has sort of mentored. He's sort of taken him under wing. He has sort of guided him to the place in several places in the Word of God. He calls him his son. That is his son in the ministry. The leader, a man who had proven, by the way, his worth. A man who had proven he had a right to do. Now, I have written in the flyleaf of my Bible this scripture. Never receive counsel from anyone who does not receive counsel from God. Somebody deliver a package of tissues up here, would you? We usually have some around here, but somebody borrowed them. That's what we get for all getting the flu, right? Okay. You'll excuse me, please, but I'm getting more than I can deal with here. So this leader, Paul, Now I'm getting overdone. I won't be quite that bad. Thank you both. Okay. He's now speaking to this young man who's under his tutoring, and he says, this is what I want you to do, what you've heard of me. Now, this guy goes so far as to say one day to a group of believers, now, if you guys don't know how to live for Christ, you just follow my pattern as I have followed Jesus Christ. Wow, I don't, I guess confession's good for the soul, is it not? I don't know that I can say that. You live like me, and you'll be all right with Jesus. But Paul says that. Now, he's saying to this young preacher, what you've heard from me, be careful. Be careful who you receive instruction from. In this day and time, now, I don't know. It may have always been this way. But in particular, it seems, in this day and time, there's all kinds of instruction. I was listening to a guy the other day, and this is no joke. He had survival kits for the rapture. Get it? And by the way, I laughed and I fussed about that, but let me help you out a little bit. If you don't plan on going to heaven, if you don't plan on being ready when Jesus comes, if you haven't made that preparation now, you can't be sure you're going to make that prayer. Did you know that? You just have this moment. But the Bible says, behold, today is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. If I were in your condition, if you don't believe in Christ, if you have not accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life, I wouldn't let me finish. I'd make me hush. I'd get down here and get that settled, because I can't guarantee you, no one else can, that I'm going to finish this sermon. Got it? So you need a survival kit. Now, I don't know what in the world. What can you imagine? What could you put in a survival kit to help someone survive the rapture? Fire hydrant? Ice cubes? Gallons of water? You know, the old guy that went to hell that we read about, the one guy, when he got there, he cried out to God and said, send that sick, infected beggar down here to me and let him put his finger in water and touch my tongue. But I am in torments. I'm just tormented in these flames. Now, does that sound like a place you want to go to? Well, in fact, does it not seem that anyone who had good sense... Now, I know where I'm treading here, and I'm sorry if this is offensive, but it does not seem that if anyone who had good sense and reasoning abilities knew they had not accepted Christ, for Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father, not you either, but by me. Does it not seem that a person with good sanity would say, Lord, I'm smart enough, no, I need a Savior. I need someone to deliver me from the guilt and the penalty of sin. You know what? Jesus died on the cross. We sang about that this morning. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. He died and now sits at the right hand side of the Father in heaven, making intercessions for us. And on top of that, he sent the Holy Spirit to touch your heart and to teach you the Word of God so that when you can't, when you just can't say it, you don't know what to say. He does. He does. Now, so here is this teacher who has a personal experience with Jesus Christ. This teacher who has lived his life and proved his life, saying, the leader to the listener, this is what I want you to do. Now, the big question is, and we're schooled well in this. Why? Isn't it? Not the big question. Why am I going to do that? In fact, he gives outlays. Anyway, he gives three particular examples of you and I doing what he has instructed Timothy to do. The teacher is saying, the leader is saying to the learner, I want you to do this. That which I have taught you. By the way, you ever just stop and thank God for this precious word? Wow. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. The only real, listen, the only real vision of the Father is in the Son. And the only real revelation of the Son is in His Word. You love this book. You read this book. You study this book. That's what you heard of me among many witnesses, the same. You have the opportunity. You have the privilege. But you also have the responsibility. If you're a believer, you have the responsibility of teaching others also. Who will, in turn, teach others also? Do you see the repetition? Do you see the expansion? You become a teacher. You become the leader. You become the one sharing the Word of God. And by the way, good news, bad news, glorious news, terrifying news, every one of us teach the Word that are believers in Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Go into all the world and make disciples. That's our job. That's our responsibility. We can do that in several fashions, but today we are dealing with the equipping of saints. If you are equipped, if you know enough that you can share the Word of God with someone else. By the way, the greatest lesson, listen to me now, the greatest lesson in all of life to learn is that Jesus Christ is God's Son, man's Savior. If you know that, you have the great, great privilege of sharing that with others. Now, he goes on with this to give an example that I think all of us need to look at briefly. One is, come down with me, if you will. No one engages himself or entangles himself. I'll get it right. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please those who enlisted him as a soldier. By the way, question class, who enlisted you? That's a no-brainer. We're going to get some tough ones in a bit. Who enlisted you? Jesus did. He said, you've not chosen me. I chose you. And I called you. Now, here's a tougher one for you. Those of you who today sit here in my audience, in the audience of this congregation, and claim to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me ask you, do you remember? Do you remember that time when you did not know Christ? Do you remember that time when He had not entered your heart and life? When you had a spot of yabig around? Empty, just flat out empty in you. And your only hope was that that be filled with something because it made you miserable. And you said, Lord, come in. Well, you'd not do anything else. He came in, right? All you got to do is ask, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's such a simple thing. Anybody could understand it. Yeah. You remember that? And then he gave you responsibilities. And when you join his army, you don't entangle yourself with the things of this world. You can't serve mammoth and God at the same time. This world, listen, this world has absolutely, totally nothing, nothing to offer you that's worth keeping for a day. Now, it was described in one place that sin is enjoyable only for a season, just for a season. Now, that stuff that you just can't give up won't last long. In fact, if you'll notice, very quickly, you have to go to something else, and they just don't last. How many stars, how many heroes, how many people do you know that thought, boy, if I could only, and they did. And it was so dissatisfied, many of them wasted their life, many of them committed suicide. Listen, Jesus called you to something that's exciting, a walk of faith, something that's new every day, something that's challenging, something that you won't ever completely exhaust. He's called you to be a soldier of the cross. That's good. I want to tell you something. That's good. Now, because of time, we'll move right on. He comes on to say now, as we go along, the hardworking farmer must first be a partaker of the crops. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, you know what a farmer does, don't you? Depending, I guess, to some degree on how good a farmer he was. Let me tell you, yours truly failed. I retired from this area and went down to the Ozarks and bought a little ranch. And I tell you, as hard as I tried, I just worked myself to the bones. I mean, I sweated and toiled every day trying to make a good rancher out of Peggy Lorraine. And she just couldn't. You know, the first time we baled hay, she quit me. Said, you can do that all you want to, but I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, tried to teach her how to pressure cook and can everything, you know, that we were raising out there in the garden and in the orchard. She said, it's too hot over this old hot stove. I'm not going to do that anymore. I just tried my best. So it depends on how good a farmer you are. But to tell you one thing for sure, I don't know why that just shot through my mind. Did you know the Bible says if a guy won't work, he shouldn't eat? Handouts? If you were in my office, in Randy's office, they come by here about every other day with their handout. I tell you, we hear some great stories, too. I mean, you don't know how bad, how traumatic it is living this world until you hear some of those stories. Now, but one thing for sure, if you're a good farmer, stay with me now, if you're a good farmer, you'll get to eat. Now, move that over. Let's move that over into the area of spiritual. He that goeth forth weeping, sowing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, bringing the crop with him. I'm going to throw this in the bad, bad negative zone. How many of you would just like to see the rest of the world go to hell? I thought that'd wake you up. Well, no hands up. Then you'd like for the rest of the world to be saved, right? Okay. Now, if we don't tell them, the rest of the world will not. So what we need to do is we need to be equipped to tell, to share, to lead, to teach. Now then, I skipped one. And I didn't do that on purpose. I just flat skipped one. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. Got it? You watch these guys, these superheroes, you know, the basketball players and the all-star wrestlers and, you know, the football players and the Super Bowls coming up and all of that, you know, and you watch those guys. It'd be nice to be that. You know how they get there? The very first thing they do is to follow the rules. They know the rule book. Did you know in pro athletics, well, even in college athletics, you have to know the rule book. Excuse me for a minute. I didn't intend to do that. the athlete knows. I think I told you this when I preached a sermon on baseball, but there was a star athlete in baseball whose name was Jimmy Pearsall. Now, Jimmy wasn't quite, his bubble didn't float straight across there. And one day he hit a home run. And he ran to third, and he ran to second, and he ran to first, and then he went home. And when he touched home base, the umpire said, "You're out." But he hit a home run. But you ran it backwards. The rule book says you go to first, you go to second, you go to third, and then you go home. Well, the athlete follows the rules, and by the way, does the exercising. Are you with me? Can you stay with me just a little bit more? He does the exercising. I mean, when you're out there running laps, I may have told you about old 6'10", a big boy from Florida that came to Indiana Tech because he's taller, bigger than everyone else. He just knew he was going to be a star. And so in the conditioning period, he'd go around the campus the first time and hide behind the sign down there on the corner of Anthony and Washington. Get down behind it. And on about the, you know, if we were running five laps, if they were running five laps, on the last lap, he'd come in not even having broken a sweat. Guess what? The guy never got 1 minute of playing time. Tallest, biggest guy on the team. Indiana Tech has a guy now that's 6'10". Big guy from Australia on their basketball team. And, you know, the guy, this is the thing. He can shoot. He can hook. He even backs up and shoots three-pointers. And only if we're a mile behind or 2 miles ahead does he ever get a minute or two on the court. He just will not do the discipline. We, listen to me, we are to be conditioned to receive the Word of God. First of all, you've got to be at the right place. I tell you, it may not be exactly the right place, but it sure helps to be at church. Two, you got to be faithful. You got to be regular at it. You know, I think his brother Dad told about the guy that could do 150 push-ups. He could do that regularly, but it requires more. You do all of the conditioning. Lastly, you listen to the coach. Are you doing that? No, I'm not the coach. I'm the cheerleader. Have you figured that out? It's my job to be the cheerleader. Now, we had a guy here that was back there with pom-poms. I don't have pom-poms, but I'm the one that says, come on, let's get with it. Let's do it. Why? Because it's good for us. Why? Because we, for Jesus' sake, want to be winners. Why? Because this is the way the Lord Jesus said, do it. All right. That which you've heard of me, among many witnesses, by the way, I don't think you have a leg to stand on. I don't think you have an inch of ground to be on to argue that this is not the truth. My challenge to you this morning is this. Are you doing your best for Jesus? You will be as a leader, or you will be as a learner. Are you doing your best for Jesus? And then, are you willing? What you know, you'll share it with someone else. What you know, you'll tell others. That's where water hits the wheel. That's where tires hit the road. And when we do that, Christ is glorified and honored, and the Father is glorified and lifted up. And the church grows. I want you to stand, please. Ashley's going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn.